He is holy. Amen. Praise God. It's good to see you this morning. Thank you for being here. We had an awesome time in our Sunday school class this morning. If you were in a Sunday school class, I know you were blessed. I invite you to come back for that. If you will, open your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 23. While you're finding your place there, I do want to mention a couple of things. I thought I'd just wait till I jumped up here. And Ms. Jan and Robert have some very good friends close to them that need our prayers, a young lady named Kathy, and she is battling breast cancer, so please remember her in prayer. And then a young man, one of their classmates in days gone by, Robert's classmate, I think, Victor, if you will, remember him in prayer as well and ask God's blessing on him. Brother Barry asked us to pray for he and Francis' daughter, Julia, some time ago. She had a bout with cancer, but they're going to be running some tests this week. There's something they want to look at a little closer. So please pray for Julia Johnson this week and also continue to pray for Ms. Francis as well and keep her in your prayers and her transition from the, so far as the dialysis to home dialysis. And then Brother Donnie Tippett's here this morning. Melissa's been coming, but Brother Donnie's back in services this morning and we're blessed to see him. Amen. And thank the Lord for him being here. For friends who may not know Brother Donnie well, Brother Donnie's also battled cancer. But right now today, he's cancer-free because of the grace of God. Amen. Thank God for that. We rejoice in that. And thank the Lord for Brother Donnie being back in the service. Brother Fred Phipps is keeping your prayers. It's out a little ways, May the 17th, but he's going to have a heart valve repaired. And please keep him in prayer in regard to that and ask God's blessing on that. And then I would invite you to be with us at 11 o'clock on Wednesday morning. We have a wonderful time in here. We have singing, we recognize birthdays, we have a joke of the day, and then we have a message. We're studying the book of the Song of Solomon, and if you would, we'd love for you to come. You don't have to be a senior to come. Sometime your work schedule may allow you to come during the day. We invite you to come, and you come, and we have a wonderful lunch together, and that'll be this Wednesday at 11 o'clock, and we start at 11. We have lunch at 12. And you'll be able to get back home and do the things you want to do and need to do. Next Sunday, of course, is Easter Sunday. We have sunrise service next Easter Sunday at 6:30. Most every Easter Sunday, when I get up about 5 o'clock, I wonder whose idea it was to have a 6:30 prayer service. But we always have a great service. Brad always had a lot of wonderful music, and we have a time from the Word of God. And then a good breakfast. Thank the Lord for the men who come early to prepare that breakfast for us. So that'll be next Sunday. Sunrise service is at 6:30. Then our breakfast. And then we have our regular schedule of Sunday school and church. And at 11 o'clock next Sunday, our morning worship. And during that time, we will receive a 30 pieces of silver offering. And some of you are familiar with that. We've done it over and over again. And but the Lord was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. And so we turned that offering of betrayal into an offering of love. And we'll have a small cross here, and you come and you lay your offering at the foot of the cross and do a bag, a little Ziploc bag, a plastic bag, or you may use a cloth bag or whatever you want to. But we try to do 30 pieces of silver for every family member. And at a certain time, Brad will tell us when, we come by and we leave our offering. Now this year I'm asking you to really pray, and some of you may want to do that a coin offering, but maybe a special offering. We have been praying and we've been receiving offerings for some time for our building fund and especially for our new building fund. And what we've been praying about is a Christian Life Center. It'd be another big complex just above the parking lot behind me. And that building will house our Bible Institute. We'll do Awanas in there, Sunday school classes in there. And we'll do all of our drama ministries up there. It's going to include an auditorium. The gym will convert into an auditorium that'll hold 500 people. And we can do all of our drama ministries up there, and we're going to have storage for everything. And it's going to be a ministry tool, something that we can use through the week. Justin already is preparing and getting ready. By that time, he and Brad have to probably coach and not play, but we're going to have upwards basketball where we'll reach people. You saw a couple Sunday nights ago, how just that one little event, so many people came, and we had folks from outside the church, maybe you don't know about, but they came early and for the youth meeting, and Brother Justin presented a very strong gospel message and presented Christ in there before we got out of here to go back there. And so it'll be a tool. Now, all of that is just preliminary, praying, looking, trying to get, we want to do what God wants us to do. And where God guides, He always provides, and He's going to take care of it. But right now, we've been talking to contractors, and we are going to be getting a preliminary overview, but maybe a floor plan to give you some idea. At that point in time, we'll come back to the church, and you'll look at it, and at that time, we're going to pray and ask God, and then the church will make the final decision. We're going to go ahead, and we're going to start with all the process of getting it done. But we're, by faith, going ahead and receiving offerings already. And you say, well, Brother Bill, it's proof that God leads us not to build the building. Well, we already got enough projects around here to take care of that we're going to, any of it can be used for the Lord. Amen. So you think in your heart, ask God what He wants you to do next Sunday in that 30 piece of silver offering. All right, let's look here now. We have been dealing these last several weeks leading up to Easter on our Master and those who met the Master as He was on His way to Calvary. And this morning I want to deal with one, and it was so wonderfully depicted once again last night in the drama. I encourage you in the internet audience and here, you have tonight, Wednesday night, and Friday night. If you've not already reserved tickets, do that. But I want to encourage you, if you can come, you come. We had room for walk-ins last night, and probably every night we can get you worked in, get you in the building. If we had to, we might could use a few chairs, but we want to make sure everybody gets in and you'll be blessed. How many were here last night, by the way? You were here last night. Oh, great. A good number of you already have seen it. Could you testify that it was great last night? Amen. It was wonderful. Look with me, please, in Luke chapter 23. Our Lord Jesus has stood before Pilate and others, and we've had that scene depicted here where Pilate says, it's our custom, release to you one man, and they want Barabbas. The Bible said he's there because he was a murderer and a thief. And they still wanted Barabbas. They'd rather have him than Jesus. And so he was released. And what Pilate said, what should I do with Jesus? They cried out over and over again, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And then as he's on his way to Calvary, in the passage just prior to where I'm going to start reading, there were women and a crowd following. They were weeping. And he turns and says to them, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves, because judgment's coming. And it was coming through the means of the Romans, and Jerusalem one day would be defeated and destroyed, and the temple taken down. Every stone of the temple was disassembled and taken down. But here, the Lord Jesus Christ is foretelling them of those events. And then pick up the reading with me at verse number 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. Malefactors are evildoers or wicked doers. These were wicked men, wicked men. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding. And the rulers also of them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. And here verse 40, Brother Barry always tells us, you watch, if you see a verse that starts with the word but, you ought to draw a circle around it. And I'm going to tell you right now, business is fixing to pick up. But the other answered, rebuking him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. here a thief meets the master. And oh, what a difference it made in his life. His earthly life was short, but he's still alive in 2023. He's still alive and he's still rejoicing and he still knows Jesus is Lord. And thank God for meeting the master. Will you bow your heads in prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would breathe on me. Father, not by might nor by power, but by thy Spirit, saith the Lord. And Lord, no man come to thee except the Son draw him, and the Holy Spirit of God does the drawing. And God, I pray you draw some to Christ this morning. Lord, please don't let anybody leave in here deceived. The Bible said the human heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But God, I pray that there'd be an assurance in every heart that Jesus Christ has saved them. And Lord, I pray for the vast radio and internet audience, the thousands, our Father, who join us now. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, our Father, would breathe on them as well. Speak to our hearts and we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory. And we'll rejoice for all that you do in Jesus' name. Here's this wonderful story. It's recorded for us in all the Gospels, and little bits and pieces are added to help to understand a little bit about the scenario. Our Lord Jesus Christ has been taken, and he's gone through a mock trial. He's already been beaten. He's already been scourged. I saw last night, once again, Charles, as he ascended those steps, and you could see his back. And I thought about the reality of what it says about our Lord, that he was scourged. I was reading some time ago, Charles Spurgeon, written way back in the 1800s, and he described accurately, as I have and repeated and others have repeated, the type of weapon they used to beat him was what's called a cat of nine tails. And it was a leather straps on that, and they had embedded in the ends of that pieces of bone and rock. And they were expert with it. I remember Brother Avery Rogers describing it in detail, and that he, as he talked about it, and these men were experts at that. It was not just random flogging. They knew exactly what they were doing. They were hitting him at strategic places on his body. And if it was a death sentence, they would hit him 39 times. But on the last one, if it was a death sentence, they would wrap it around their body like a whip, and when they'd snatch it back, it would open up their chest cavity, and they would bleed to death in a matter of moments, and it was death. Our Lord got 39 stripes. He was one hit of that weapon before death. The flesh was pulled from his back. And when you see Charles come down the aisle with that cross, you remember that our Lord Jesus Christ bore that cross. There was a man named Simon who was compelled to bear it the rest of the way. But when they got him up on the Calvary, they laid him on that cross. And that old rough cross in the raw flesh of his back, the suffering of our Lord, you could just only imagine what was happening. But when you go to the book of Matthew and you look at this, it says this about him, that they were called thieves. He called them thieves. They were thieves and wicked men. And they'd done that over and over again. It wasn't just a single offense. It was their lifestyle. And they were wicked men. And the Bible said that they were crucified, one on the right and one on the left. And, you know, I wonder why that is. Evidently, they had captured these men first. They were already being held before they caught Jesus. And yet, here they are, and it seems if they wanted to make Jesus the focal point. I don't know if they did that so much as a sovereign God did that. He wanted to know he was the man in the middle. I was thinking about when Brother Barry mentioned this morning about Julia. I remember them singing that song, and Lauren especially singing, "The Man in the Middle." That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And God featured his son in the forefront, and he was there among the thieves. And notice, if you look further in that book, you'll find that they, in verse 44 of Matthew 27, that both thieves mocked Jesus in the very beginning. When they were hung on the cross, initially the priests and the Pharisees were mocking, the rulers were mocking, the guards and the Roman soldiers were mocking Christ. And then the general crowd was also mocking him. and if you be the Christ, come down. But those two men, both of them were wicked. Both of them were condemned to death. And both of them were mocking the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew in chapter 27, verse 44. Both of them were mocking him. If you go to the book of Mark, and you'll look in Mark chapter 15, verse 28, it says that all that happened, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, which were in the book of Isaiah, that he was numbered with the transgressors. He was numbered with them. And I thought as I read that passage of scripture again this past week, that people in prison are a number. They have a number. They all have a number on there, and they all wear the same kind of orange colors or whatever, but they are numbered, and they are known as a number. And our Lord Jesus Christ was numbered here with sinners. There he is. There's a thief on either side and the sinless Son of God in the middle. When you come a little bit further into this same chapter that I've read to you already, I noticed something that I noted in my Bible. It said in verse 32 that they were led with him. Most of the time in our mind, when we think about Christ on his way to Calvary, we see him going. But these other thieves are with him. They're bearing their cross as well. I don't know if they were in front of him, behind him, but they were walking together, all three of them bearing their cross toward Calvary. But one of them would make all the difference in all of history when he died on the cross that was his cross, and his name is Jesus. And as they come to that place, the Bible says that when he hung on the cross in this chapter, in verse 39, initially, according to Matthew, they both mocked him. But after some time, this second one man, one of the thieves, cries out to him and rails on him, the Bible says in verse 39. And he said, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." If, that's an awful big if there. If thou be the Christ, if thou be the Savior, if you're the Savior. Oh, you can't go to heaven with an if like that. You have to know who he is. And notice now what takes place. If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. Look at verse number 40 with me again. And it says this, "But the other answering him," speaking to the other thief, he speaks across to our Lord and he's rebuking the other thief. Whether they've known one another or not, I have no idea. But he's now rebukes him. And notice what he said. "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou in the same condemnation? And we justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." Last night, during the scene of the crosses, you remember there were three crosses. Two on either side, Cabot on one side, Lane on the other side, and Charles in the middle as Jesus. And one of our visitors that knows us all well came up to me afterward and said, "Did you notice Cabot when Jesus was on the cross and he was on the cross?" Cabot sings that song that we're going to hear in a few minutes, Brother Danny's going to sing. But he said, "I couldn't help but see Cabot weeping, and his hands were on the cross, and he couldn't wipe the tears, so the tears were just coursing down his face." It doesn't say that this man is showing any emotion, but something has taken place in his life. Just a few minutes prior, he was mocking Jesus. He was right with the other thief. But now he rebukes this one, and he turns and he says, "We're dying, but we're dying justly for our sins." But he said, this man hath done nothing amiss. Oh, here he is. And can you imagine what was going on in his heart and mind? Jesus, blood coursing down his face, crown of thorns on his head, jeering crowd all the way around him. And it was such a racket you could hardly hear. But Jesus heard him. Jesus heard what he said. And he heard his request. And he said to Jesus, the Bible said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus heard him. And Jesus turns to him and he says to him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Can you imagine what swept through that man's heart? Not just emotion. I am convinced that a work of grace took place on that cross that day. The same thing that happened to you the day you got saved in Sunday school or vacation Bible school or in a revival service or in a church service or in the backside of a field somewhere. The same thing happened to him, happened to you. The Holy Ghost of God did a work in his heart. He's just exactly like this man over here. They were both thieves. They were both condemned. But something happens to this man. What happens to him? It's God's amazing grace. God had spoke to his heart. And he changes, it seems like instantly, from being a mocker of Christ into a receiver, an acknowledger of Christ. Listen to what he said. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. My dear friend, when you think about that, here they are. They have been led together. No doubt these men had been held as prisoners. I personally believe that they were somewhere in close confine. They could hear all that was going on. I believe they heard the mocking, the jeering. I believe them cry for Barabbas to be set free. I'm sure he shook his head and said, I can't believe that. We know that man. He's a bad man. Listen, he's a murderer and he's a robber. He's a thief. And they'd rather have him than have Jesus. Can't believe that. But there, he hears that. He hears them mocking our Lord. He hears them cry, crucify him, crucify him. Maybe he heard the slash of the cat of nine tails as it hit him. You could hear it just swish through the air. And then the thud as it hit his body. You didn't hear him crying. You didn't hear him screaming. You don't hear any of that. The Bible said he, as a lamb led to the shearer, he opened not his mouth. He didn't cry out in pain. Do you think he had pain? Yeah. Beyond our comprehension, he had pain. But he's like a sacrifice. He offered himself without spot and without blemish. And he didn't cry out in that agony until he's on the cross. And the cry then is completely different. He cries and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He experienced my separation, your separation from God. But not only did he hear all of that, the Bible said they were led together. He heard everything Jesus said as they were going through the crowd. And as they were walking on that cobblestone street, I can just imagine that cross and every time it hit, the agony that they must have felt. They come to Calvary and there they crucify him like he did the Lord. But he noticed something strange, that Jesus, didn't have to hold him down with restraints. His friend and he himself probably were fighting with all they could do not to lay on that cross. They were compelled to do that. They held them tight. And as they drove the nails in their hands and nails in their feet, I could hear them and he could hear the other one crying out in agony and pain. But strangely, the Lamb of God on that middle cross, as they drove those nails in his hands and his feet, never cried out in pain, never raised his voice. As a lamb before the slaughter, he opened not his mouth. He hangs there. He also heard the Lord Jesus Christ say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But even at that, the Bible says that he mocked them. But listen, at some point in time, things does change. And he says to that man, don't you fear God? I want to just point out about 7 or 8 things real quick that happened that he learned on that cross that he found out. He didn't even know it when he got there. I'm talking about in a moment. You say, Brother Billy, I get saved, but I got to go through all this process. I need to get rid of some things in my life. I need to do some things different. I'm telling you that just a few minutes before, this man was mocking Jesus, just like the other one. He was a thief. He was condemned to death. He already had nails in his hands and nails in his feet. But in a moment, something happened to him. Something changed in his life. I don't think he did it because of his intellect. I don't think he did it as an emotional decision. I am convinced that he was dead in trespasses and sin, just like the other guy. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. He was like that. There's none that seeketh after God. He didn't go to Calvary looking for a Savior. He didn't go to Calvary looking to Jesus. But something happened to him on that cross, just like happened to you. 6 months before you were saved, you could care less about the Bible of God. Most of you, many of the day that you used to have a guy when he was in Reedsville, that his wife kept on after him back going to church. And he told her, he said, I'm going this one time, but he said, I will never go to church again. And he got saved and he never missed church again. But he always would say, but she was right. That old man never went to church again because God made me different. God made me a brand new creature. My dear friend, I'm telling you that that's what salvation's all about. It's not a process. You don't learn to all about it. You don't learn to be a Christian. You get born again into the kingdom of God. Something's got to happen to you. More than joining a Baptist church, more than getting baptized, something's got to happen from heaven. Being born again, the Bible says, means being born from above. Notice what he learned on that cross that he did not know. Number one, he learned to fear God. He learned to fear God. He says to that man who rebukes our Lord, the first statement he makes to him, dost thou not fear God? He learned to fear God. He learned that God is a God to be reverenced. He learned that God was real on that cross. I don't know how much he'd ever thought about God, but he's testifying now that God's real. He's testifying right now. And tragically, so many people don't ever think about God until cancer comes to their house or the tragedy comes to their house or a tornado hits their town. And then they'll talk about God and then they'll talk about praying. But they won't go the next step that this man goes to. But he said, don't you fear God? This thief learns that God's real and he is a God. And if you'd been in our Sunday class this morning, you'd understand this, that every person, one of these days, is appointed a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. And you're not going to stand before your mama, your daddy, or nobody else. You're going to stand before God, and every person have to give an account of himself before God. And my dear friend, he recognizes, and he now knows that there is a God, and he's a God who's to be reverenced and feared. Number two, he confessed and acknowledged that he was a sinner. He said, we're dying. You're in the same condemnation. And he said, and we indeed justly, for we have received the due reward of our sin. What reward was it? It's death. They were receiving that due reward for death. They were being punished and they were going to die. The sentence of their sin was death. He learned that he had to confess and acknowledge himself a sinner. All have sinned. Everybody in this building, everybody in the internet, we're all sinners and we are counted to God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You can say, I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe in God. I don't believe it. But do you believe in cemeteries? Have you ever been to a funeral? That's a testimony the Bible is true. The wages of sin is death. I don't care what a man's philosophy is. I don't care how much he tries to take care of his body. Everybody dies. And everybody comes to that point. It's a man pointed on a man wants to die. And the testimony of this cemetery, every cemetery, is a silent testimony that the Word of God is true. It is appointed on a man wants to die. And here he acknowledged the fact that he's a sinner and that the wages of his sin is death. But now notice something else that he does. When he says that, he acknowledges that this man has done nothing amiss. He recognized the fact that Jesus Christ was sinless. This is not a normal man. Every man sinned. I'm sure if you'd have talked to him a week before, a day before, and said, man, you're wicked. He said, everybody's wicked. Everybody's a sinner. He said, all that crowd, they all wicked. He said, some of us get caught, some of us don't. Everybody's a sinner. My dear friend, he recognized the fact that Jesus was different than them. He said, this man has done nothing amiss. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. And Judas said, I have betrayed innocent blood. Jesus Christ is the sinless Son of God. He did not have one sin in thought or deed in 33 and a half years on this earth. He never sinned one time in any form nor fashion. My dear friend, he did perfectly the will of the Father, and he was never a sinner. Why? Because the wage of sin is death. And if Jesus had had one sin, he'd been dying for his own sin. But the Bible said, scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would dare to die. But God commended, God showed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. And this man acknowledges that Jesus Christ was sinless. And this man on the cross learned that Jesus is Lord. Look at this little statement that he makes when he speaks to Jesus in verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You say, Brother Billy, how in the world did he make such a transition? I'm not talking about in days. I'm talking about in a matter of minutes. From mocking Jesus to acknowledging Jesus Christ as Lord. Lord, remember me when thou comest thy kingdom. Nine words. That's the number of the fruit of the Spirit of God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit of God on that cross. The Spirit of the living God has dealt with him. God has made it real. It's not in here. I don't think God bypasses our mind to save us, but it's the heart that's deceitful and desperately wicked. And he says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. But God does a heart work. I'm talking about the great cardiologist, the great surgeon, did a work on his heart right there. And he turns from recognizing Jesus as just a man. This man hath done nothing amiss. Now he recognizes him as Lord. And the Bible said, no man calls him Lord, but by the Holy Spirit of God. I'm telling you right now, something happened to him. And if something happened to you akin to that, I'm not talking about when and where and what you said. If you went down the Roman road or the Galatian road or the Baptist road, but did you go to Jesus and did God the Holy Ghost do a work in your heart? And then you recognize you were a sinner. And did you recognize Jesus is sinless? And did something come in your heart that caused you to recognize him, not as a man, but as the Lord? He is Lord. Nine words, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. God did a work in this man's heart, and he recognized Jesus not only as sinless, but now he sees him as Lord, and thank the Lord for that. But not only does he see him as Lord, he learned this, he ain't gonna stay dead. This man ain't gonna stay dead. I don't know about me and you, but this man ain't gonna stay dead. Ain't no way for him to get off that cross. He's nailed to the cross. And just natural course of a human body, he'll die in a matter of hours. He's going to die. But he ain't going to stay dead. Because he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He just as sure as I'm standing here, and I'm reading historically, he knew in his heart that he won't stay dead. He's going to die. But he's going to have a kingdom. He's going to come back. He's going to live. He believed in the resurrection before he ever got resurrected. He believed it with all of his heart that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. That's the gospel, how that Christ died for us according to the Scriptures, died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He knew Jesus wasn't going to stay dead. Well, listen, did he go to Bible college or what? Did the Holy Ghost of God do a work in his heart or not? I'm talking about you pick out the worst guy you can find in Johnson County and put him on a cross, and he's been a cusser and a blasphemer and a thief and a drunk and everything else. And in a matter of moments, he's changed completely, and he calls him Lord. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. He realized this. He knew that Jesus was the King. Not only was He Lord, but He's King of kings and Lord of lords. He knew He had a kingdom. That's a place. He didn't all know about heaven. I don't know all I know about heaven. But I know there's one. And he right there realized this King has a kingdom. He is King. The sign says He's King of the Jews. But He's King of those who believe. And He has a kingdom. And my dear friend, He's got a place. He's got a place. It's called heaven. He's King of the whole world. He's King of the universe. He's King of kings. But He's got a place prepared for the devil and his angels, which is hell. But He's also got a place prepared for those who will trust Him. It's called heaven. And this man believed in it. He believed there's a kingdom. I tell you something else he believed. He believed that Jesus was the way to that kingdom. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me. He acknowledged the fact there's only one way to get there, and that's to call on the name of the Lord. He didn't even have the book of Romans. I know he didn't read that. I don't know if he ever read the Old Testament, ever heard any Old Testament scriptures or not. But I know one thing. He knew that Jesus was the way to heaven, and he called on Him. He knew He was his only hope at that time. He couldn't get off the cross. He couldn't be baptized. He couldn't go to Sunday school. He couldn't read a Bible. He couldn't do a good deed. He couldn't do nothing. All he could do was call, and he did it. And that's the case of every person in this building and every person on the internet. Nobody goes to heaven until they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord and call on Him. He knew one other thing. Listen very carefully. He knew that his sin would not keep him out of heaven. He knew that his sin wouldn't keep him out of the kingdom if he asked the King to take him. And my dear friend, your sin, whatever it has been, you may think it's small, but it's big in the eyes of God. People don't go to hell because of their sin. They go to hell because they don't call on Jesus, because they don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, these things I've written that you might believe on the name of the Son of God. And he that believeth not is condemned already. If you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're already condemned. But if you'll believe, there's there and therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. My dear friend, you don't have to go to hell. I don't care what kind of sin you committed. He learned that his sin would not keep him out of heaven, and Jesus would take him if he just trust Him. What a miracle. You say, that's a miracle. Well, the greatest of all miracles is the miracle of the new birth. It is a mystery. I can't explain it to you. The day we buried our oldest daughter, my brother Howard came over. And he said to me and my father-in-law in the quietness of the living room, Billy, I've seen something different in you and Regina and the folks from this church. And I said, Howard, the only difference between me and you is Jesus, just Jesus. He makes all the difference in the world. Do you recognize Him? Do you know Him? But will you do the next step? Will you call on Him? Oh, listen, He did. I'm going to ask you to do that same thing today. But let's go a step further. Jesus dies, and the Bible tells us He descended into the lowest part of the earth and He led captivity captive. But He says to this man, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I'm telling you, right then and there, when he called him Lord, he was saved. Even before Jesus told him what was fixing to happen. But he got to go with Him. If you study the Bible, you'll find that before Calvary, there's a place called paradise. And in paradise, the rich man died, Lazarus died, and they could see one another. But there was a great gulf between the two sides. One was Abraham's bosom, a place of blessing and rest and peace. On the other side was a place of torment and flame and tortured and begging for one drop of water. But the Bible said Christ went to that lowest part of the earth and he led captivity to captivity. The Bible says that he was in the book of Hebrews, the spirit of just men made perfect. Those who had believed now are taken into the presence of God out of there. And Isaiah said, hell hath enlarged itself. It just took over that area. But my friend, listen, can you just imagine in your mind what went on? I'm telling you, when that fellow, just the moment he died, the moment breath left his body and his heart quit beating, he ended up in paradise. I don't know if the Lord's the first person he saw or not, but can you imagine? Here's a thief, and he's dying with the Lord and with another thief. In the next moment, he's in place of rest, and he sees Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all those people, and he knows them. And he's in perfect peace, and he's not in pain anymore. He doesn't have any darkness in his soul anymore. He only has light and joy, and he's rejoicing. And then he sees Jesus. Oh, listen, in just a moment, Brother Danny is going to come sing a song. I'm sure that they all said to him, how is it that you got here? And he said, I came by the way of the cross. I want you to bow your heads. Brother Danny is going to come and sing for us this morning. If you're here this morning, can you imagine the first time he saw Jesus in paradise? Can you imagine the joy that filled his soul? Can you imagine what he did? I'm sure he told all the others, I came by the way of the cross. But when he saw Jesus, I'm certain he ran and fell at his feet. And he said, I had nails in my hands and nails in my feet, and in about hours I was going to be in hell. I'd be tormented forever and ever, begging for one drop of water. But here I am. I'm blessed. I'm comforted. All because of what you did for me on the cross. We're heading into the Easter time. Next Sunday will be Easter. I'm telling you, I have been all this week. And I know you have, but maybe once again this morning you want to just gather around this altar and thank him for Calvary. Thank him for what he did for you. You were just as dead, just as doomed to death as that thief was, and God saved you. They like to say just in the nick of time, but he saved you right on time. You might want to worship him where you are. You might want to come kneel around this altar, but if you're not saved today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you may have been a member of this church, you may be a member of somebody else's church, you may have never been to church a day in your life. This might be the first time you've come in the building, or you may be listening to a gospel message for the first time in the media audience. But I'm telling you, 9 words changed that man's destiny. Lord, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the sinless Son of God? Do you believe that you're a sinner condemned to death? Do you know that Jesus bore your sins on that cross and that he did not stay dead? He's alive forevermore. And would you be willing to cry out to him and say to him, Lord, I want to go to heaven. Forgive me of my sin. Save me right now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you're not saved, I invite you to take one step towards this altar, and it'll be the first step you'll make toward heaven if you believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. There are friends here who'll pray with you. If I can help you, I'll do it. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you now for all those who met the Master. And our Father, in your death, Lord Jesus, in your death, this one man, the thief, who met the Master and now lives in eternity around the throne of God. We'll get to see him one of these days. Lord, we'll get to see him. We'll get to see all the saints of all the ages and all those Bible characters we read about, preached about. But Lord, we also get to see Jesus. But Lord, in my mind today, I can only think of that man in paradise. No pain, joy unspeakable in that bright, blessed place where our Lord was at. the crowd that thronged him and wanted to know, how'd you get here? He got there the same way we're going to get there because of what you did for us on the cross. Lord, save and speak to hearts now. Bless your people in Jesus' name. While we have our heads bowed, you won't be the first at the altar. I invite you to come while Brother Danny sings.